I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed. I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Order AUC-3423.
Listen to this, boys.
Now, where are my people? Where? Now, where are my people? Where are my people? Where are my people? Where are my people?
My name's Markway. Dr. Markway. A scientist interested in the supernatural. The unnatural, if you like. I came to Hillhurst to find the key to another world. Assisting me in this exploration of the unknown was Eleanor. Mel, who could look back into the past. And Theo, something of a witch, who could see into the future. This is Luke, who didn't believe in anything. Until evil, patient, waiting, made him change his mind.
That it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream. And you don't think it's time somebody had a dream again? Huh? And you don't think it's time somebody had a dream again? Huh? you don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Night Shift.
How long has it been since you've
It's
slept?
My favorite show. Night Shift.
I don't know.
How long has it been since you've slept?
Night Shift. For professional use only.
I don't know. Fine. I never seem to get tired. But I know I haven't slept since this thing began.
Night Shift.
It's invisible. Night Shift. But you can feel it.
Night Shift. Yeah.
It only happens.
Night Shift.
I'm talking about it, and I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea.
why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this. I saw something, they saw something. There was a lot of light. That's all I remember.
Now, where are my people?
Night shift.
Consuelo, they're not human. Consuelo, they're not human.
Night shift?
Consuelo, they're not human.
The name of the show.
Consuelo, they're not human.
Of your memory suggests that we might clarify them a little bit by hypnosis. Would you be agreeable to that?
Hypnosis?
It's a simple process. It's sometimes very helpful in cases of psychological trauma when people have difficulty remembering what happened to them.
And I have no idea. I have no idea.
Feels like times have changed. It's an invisible barrier. It keeps anyone from getting out. It's designed to keep me inside, but it keeps everyone else in too. I'm sorry.
get you out of here, clear of me.
I think there's no place to hide.
There has to be.
Mike Sargent, I really appreciate good DGM.
Do you appreciate
the
good
top
DGM?
Of the year? You top know, of the year. I'm actually looking forward top to the next show. Compilation of the 2018.
Yes, everything you've been hearing is going to be on it. Yes. All right, listen to me. I've been calling, Byron. I have a lot to play to you. I have a lot to play to you.
Well, it's a good way to start off the show after being kind of preempted and snow and all that other stuff we had to deal with. But we're here.
We shouldn't have been preempted, but we were. I won't name names.
That's okay.
People are calling without me even giving out the number, so that means that people are excited to be here. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, me too.
And we have a special, exciting guest.
Yes, we do.
Besides a mystery guest. Hello, mystery guest.
Oh, hello.
Good evening.
Hello,
good evening, Byron.
Indeed.
There you go. Mystery
looking
guest.
Glowing and looking absolutely bad as usual.
Really?
You're tuned to listen to Sponsor Radio.
The light is on your side of the building.
Really?
See?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Besides that,
sorry, let's not get into the music. Okay, hello, you're on the air. Who's calling?
Morning. Thank you. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, who is this?
This is Bill from Hell's Kitchen.
Bill from Hell's Kitchen. Bill, so what made you call before I even gave out the number, Bill?
Well, man, I was looking for it, man, and I tell you, it's harder to find your number than Trump's tax returns. I mean, you don't even have it on your Facebook page. I woke some poor guy up, man, in the middle of the night, you know? And I had to apologize for
Oh, you called somebody outside. I'm going to give out the number.
Yeah, I called some other guy, and he wasn't there.
We can only take one call at a time, but I do have a solution to that, Byron. I'm starting next week.
You are using high tech.
The phone number here is 347-335-0818.
That's correct.
And you can talk to us. But right now, since Bill from Hell's Kitchen is here, you can't talk.
I want to ask you a question.
But, Bill, yes, what's your question?
You ever hear of a guy named Malcolm X?
A little bit.
Okay, Malcolm X, in the Ballad of the Bullet speech, talked about how liberals were the most dangerous thing in the hemisphere. Now, if you look at Harlem today, it's liberals who are taking over Harlem.
Dude, I live in Harlem. Who are you talking to? I live in Harlem.
Liberals?
If you look at Marcus Garvey Park, it's liberals.
Yep.
Who owned the brownstones with their Hillary signs.
Who got rid of the drumming circle that was a 30-year tradition. Yes, I'm with you.
Okay, with now you. Listen.
I'm with you.
These are the liberals who call the police on the African musicians in Marcus Garvey Park.
What? That's what I'm talking about. That's the drumming circle.
These
that's what I'm talking
liberals.
About.
This is what Malcolm X is saying, okay?
All right, so what's your point? Where
remember,
are you going? Where are you going?
When BAI laid off 20 black and Latino workers, Amy Goodman walked away with a fortune. A fortune.
All right, but wait, sir, you got to come to a point, though.
Okay, my point is that I am very concerned about Harlem, and I have been calling BAI for many, many years.
Okay.
Asking white liberals not to move to Harlem.
Okay.
Because the white liberal neighborhoods that surround Harlem do not rent to black people.
Okay.
So the white liberals that are moving into Harlem and taking over Harlem, they don't understand that. And that's the
tragedy. All right, well, listen, I'm with you, and I agree with you 100%. And I live in Harlem. I've been there for over 15 years, so I've watched it happen. But you still got to tell me what your point is. I mean, you're telling me stuff
that
we pretty much all know.
Did you open up with Bernie Sanders?
No, that was not me.
It sounded like Bernie Sanders.
That was not Bernie Sanders. That was
no. I heard some guy who sounded like Bernie Sanders.
Well, that was a science fiction movie, but you know.
Yeah, my thing is this: I listened to Bernie Sanders. I listened to Chuck Schumer. Okay.
That was Bruce.
We paid for the wall, and we paid for the wall in Israel.
Bruce Dern.
Why can't we have a wall?
Bernie?
They sneer at us. They sneer at us.
You mean like a wall in Harlem to keep like, the white
Bernie?
People out?
Yeah, why not a wall? We should have a wall in Harlem.
Yes, a wall in Harlem. The Harlem Wall. The Harlem Wall.
Sounds like a dance.
I'm with that.
That sounds like a
dance. Now, wait, let me ask you. The white people who have already moved in, can the white people who have already moved in, can they stay?
No, but I'm saying, listen, I want to tell you one thing seriously, okay?
Seriously, Bernie, what's the solution?
Seriously, if you get a chance, go on YouTube and check out in Japan what they do about white liberals in Japan.
What do they do?
Google white pig go home.
And in Japan,
they have these black
do they
trucks.
Serve them?
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to me.
They make sushi.
They have these trucks. I lived in Japan. They have these black trucks where these guys jump out with
that's
white
ironic. Pigs. I'm sorry.
And they scream, white pig go home. Okay.
And so black trucks pull up.
In Harlem.
And are the guys dressed in black? Like I like that. Yeah. I like they pull up black trucks to get rid of the white liberals.
They were a political organization in Japan for many years, and they're all over the place.
So
and
you feel we should have that here?
Yeah. I mean, you don't need to have Khalid Muhammad do
Dude,
it.
Dude, are you going to be running for president? I just want
to
know.
No, but what I'm saying is you need to
what
have
is
somebody
your party?
Come out. What's the guy who has that show on Friday night? The Gary Bird.
Bill Maher.
No, Gary Bird.
Okay, but
no, not Bill Maher. Gary Bird. Somebody very nice, somebody diplomatic, and say, you know what, hey, white people, you don't rent to us in
very
your
nice,
liberal
okay.
neighborhood.
Bill. Hey, white people.
Could you let us have Harlem, please?
Bill from Hell's Kitchen.
Could you move out?
Calling Bill from Hell's Kitchen.
Bill's from Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, Bill.
Too many
first of all, Hell's Kitchen, just so you know, I used to live in Hell's Kitchen.
Me
that
too.
Got
me
gentrified.
Too, Bill.
Me too. It got gentrified, and now it's called Clinton. So.
Listen, Bill from Hell's Kitchen, I got a question for you, because we started off with Harlem as the central theme of your presentation.
Yeah, but he wants a wall.
No, hold
I
on.
Want a
if
wall.
He wants to put
a wall.
A wall.
Are we going to make the Mexicans pay?
And they have
Bill
a fleet of drones
kitchen.
That are sitting on the top
Malcolm
of the wall.
The
because, you know, he could get rid of the wall if he had
in the
drones.
Hemisphere.
You're proposing a wall to wall off the folks who can get in and out of Harlem. Now, the demarcation.
That's where you can put the toll. Put the toll for
$12. No. I want to know if the white people who were there can stay already because they got in like grandfathered in.
Yeah, the white people
in.
Who were there like when my...
No, I'm talking about
like,
the white people
like
who were there right
ago.
Now. Like, are they grandfathered in?
No.
Oh, they got to get out. So we're going to send a celebrity up top.
All right, white people.
Behind the wall.
You have to go.
Behind the wall.
Because
I think
what
that'll
I'm
go
saying
over
is,
well.
Behind the wall that the Mexicans are going to pay for.
Serious,
I know it's serious.
Once it's gone, you don't get it back.
What, the wall?
Listen, dude.
Harlem.
Oh, no.
Harlem is gone. Listen to me. It's gone. It's over.
You know what Harlem is going to look like in 20 years?
I know what it's going to look
like. Harlem's going to be a white neighborhood with a couple of black projects in
it, like
downtown, like Stuyvesant Town.
This is not a news flash. It's already happened. I live in Harlem. The chicken place closed down. And
we
an art gallery opened.
The chicken place
closed down.
No, not
art
the chicken
gallery.
Place, Mike.
Art gallery.
Like Red Fox.
It's over, Rambo.
Red Fox.
Bill,
it's over. It's over.
Because my original question
I appreciate
is to
where
you,
he's coming from.
Bill for Wells.
You're tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio.
See, Mike, the question becomes
WBAI.
Night Shift.
The question becomes Night Shift. Yeah, see? This is why I do the show with him.
Night Shift.
The phone number here, and I do have a theme, Byron.
Oh, of course you do. 347-335-0818.
And here's the question.
Yes.
Okay, because we'll get some topics, but the
I'm
theme
ready for
the
question
is, what do you do, or what could you do in excess that you have to manage?
Oh,
talk of my own love.
You. So we didn't even get to introduce our exciting guest because
I know
we
just standing
so,
by.
So, Mr. Eugene Key. How are you, sir?
Eugene Key.
Mike? It's been a long time now. Back in the day, before Eugene is pre-Byron.
That's right.
He's pre-Byron.
Yes.
From the pre-Byron era.
This is historic.
That's right.
I'm historic. I'm from the 90s.
Famous. That's right. From the late 20th century, Eugene Key. He's here all week.
Wow. I'm loving it. Night shift.
I'll be back.
Oh. So, Mike, I'm loving the DGM.
Just close your eyes for a second. Tell me if you're with this.
Now I know this. Now I know this. Now I know this. Now I know this. I have learned this.
Bond horns coming.
Woo, I'm loving that.
Death will come, and I'm not afraid. I'm as ready as any to greet you now. In the end, is the grave. Turn my head, something be.
They could play this at the inauguration of the Harlem Wall.
I'm serious, right there. People be boogie and have a second line going right down the wall. What do you think, Jim?
Talking to you, he called you G. Nobody calls you G, but he calls you G.
What do you think?
Not everybody, mother call.
Right.
Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah, so but if you're gonna have the wall, make sure you have the Mexicans pay for it.
Yes, that's right. Mexicans pay for the Harlem Wall. What do you say?
With this kind of music, I might just eat a taco and enjoy it.
Ooh, I hear you. Even the mystery guest, she'll do her thing.
You know, I'm just kidding, folks. I didn't mean.
That's right. He doesn't really want the Mexicans to play.
No. I don't want a wall at all.
Mike.
I don't want a wall at all. Now that's the t-shirt right there. What?
Ooh. I'm copywriting it right away.
Right there. What, Byron?
Because as much as you want to know what they think with respect to tonight's theme, I'm like, what is your solution? Because, I mean, everybody's got a...
What's the solution to what, Byron?
To everything, the madness.
What's the solution to the madness?
Yes.
I tell you what, I know that. I have the solution to the madness.
Okay.
Night shift.
Great. What is that?
DGM? Yeah. What do you mean, what is that?
Well,
yeah, right? Well, actually, that was from an album compilation called Electro Jazz Divas. There was a track called The Amalgamation of Sounds. Well, a track called Enchant Me, but from the Amalgamation of Sounds.
That was great.
I love the harmonics.
You like
that?
That
was wonderful. Where'd you find stuff like that?
I always find stuff like that.
Of course you do.
I cull. I'm out there culling. Mystery guest?
Yes.
Yes.
I do have some stories, and I'm going to ask you the question first. What do you do?
What do I do?
That let's put it this way, you have to manage it, or else you could do it in excess.
Well, what comes to mind? Talking softly.
Okay, that's interesting. That's an interesting admission.
Yeah, maybe.
You do it in excess, but you have to manage it.
Yeah, to speak up, you know, diaphragm.
To speak up. And why do you speak so softly? Is it just your nature, or is there a shyness thing happening?
Oh, I don't know. No, I there's a shyness sort of thing. You know, I have to kind of get into gear. I have to kind of like, you know, get into a zone of comfort before I can kind of open up and
the
be
zone
loud.
Of comfort.
Make jokes and, you know, not care who's listening or whatever.
And project.
Yeah, you know, and like kind of get in tune with, you know,
the rest of the
my
world.
My inner volume.
I understand.
Level.
All right, that's a pretty good admission.
Yeah.
Eugene, did you think that was pretty good? That was pretty
good.
I'm sorry.
Could you hear me?
Were you listening? Was she talking too softly?
And what was the question?
The question is, what do you do in excess that you have to manage? Something that, unchecked, you would just do it too much.
Oh, I'm not going to admit that. I'm not going to admit that on the air, Mike.
Well, you could do something that's not necessarily, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, something up. It doesn't have to be a proclivity.
Interruptus.
I can't think of anything.
Oh, you can't think of. Yes, you can.
His I mean,
face
just interrupting.
Says he's thinking of a few things that he doesn't want to say.
You never know.
All right, phone number here is 347-335. All right, you're pulling something here. What are you doing? 347-335-0818.
Okay.
You can make a call.
I'm in Brooklyn.
Tell us what you think. I do have a story for you, Byron.
Yes.
You
yes,
ready? You ready for your story? You ready for your first story?
Please.
How life is like science fiction.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen a lot of things that are telling me that life is really
life
like
is
science
completely
fiction.
Science fiction at
oh my
this
God.
Point, Byron.
Is yes.
it? Just completely. Something we'll start out light. Yes. We won't get too heavy right away because there are a lot of, there's a lot of heaviness out there, Byron, and every now and then, you know, you gotta have something a little bit lighter.
That's
you know,
very lighthearted.
Well, just that, you know, it's lighthearted, but still. Did you hear about this?
Okay, a donut-eating champ.
Okay.
Go ahead. Start off with that just by itself. A
donut-eating champ. Now, that's on his resume.
Arrested in donut shop break-in. No, wait a minute.
Exactly.
Wait a minute.
Exactly.
Wow.
You break in.
Exactly. Dude, keep
that's,
reading that
that's
story. That
wow.
story. This is the epitome of life is like science fiction.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, there was a hole in his plan, obviously.
Oh, yes.
Yes, a former donut-eating champion. Was arrested in North Carolina last week after police said he broke into a Dunkin' Donuts, the Virginian Pilot newspaper reported. You see, Bradley Hardison, now is 27, made national news in 2014 when he won a police-sponsored donut eating contest.
This story is dripping with
dripping
irony.
With, yes,
dripping with irony.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It was, sponsored by a donut eating contest in Elizabeth City and then was arrested days later in connection with a series of break-ins in a neighboring county. You see, sheriff's deputies had seen the media reports of his donut eating contest victory. And, yes, they recognized him as the suspect.
Oh, my God, it's the donut
champ. It's the dude, man. He ate the holes, too.
But he was trying to break his record.
Yes.
Well, he was trying to break in. I don't know about breaking
see, Hardison
his
record.
He's addicted to donuts. Come on.
Clearly.
This is like, what if the guy... never mind. I'm distracted.
He needs an intervention.
Yes, he does. Quickly. He may need a mama's hug. I don't know. Hardison was
a lawyer now. That's what he's got.
Hardison was convicted and received a suspended sentence in connection with those break-ins. Now, this time, Hardison allegedly broke into a safe at a Dunkin' Donuts in Elizabeth City.
So he broke the. He was doing this. He got off.
because he was only stealing
donuts.
He
got off on the donuts. He got off only because he was only doing the donuts.
That's right. He was only stealing donuts.
He was only stealing donuts. He got off because he was stealing donuts. Now, keep going. Keep going with the story now.
Yes, yes. Wow. So he allegedly broke into a safe at the Dunkin' Donuts in Elizabeth City, same place.
He was like, I didn't want to steal donuts. I was going to buy some.
That's right. In November and took an undisclosed amount of dough. Oh, get.
Of course.
Of course, he would take an undisclosed amount of dough. According to Wavy, that's the NBC's WAVY NBC station in Portsmouth, Virginia. Now, he's now facing a series of felony charges, including breaking and entering, larceny, safe cracking, and probation violations because he was
caught. Talented man, obviously.
Yes, probation violations because he was caught with donuts in his pockets.
Stop, Byron.
Byron, you added that in.
I'm guilty. Anyway, that's
Byron's fantasizing.
Exactly. That's unfortunate that he continues to break the law and continue on his path in his lifestyle. Lieutenant Max Robeson of the Camden Sheriff's Office, who arrested Hardison in 2014. Now, this is what the officer told the Daily Advance after learning about his latest run-in with the law. Can you imagine being caught with donuts in your pocket?
Imagine being in lockup. Imagine being locked up.
Just hungry.
It's like, what are you in for?
I murdered my mother.
Exactly.
Well, that's what you would have to say.
Don't mess with me because I did donuts.
Donuts.
The donuts, man.
That's right. You touch me, baby.
I was the donut
I'm gonna put a donut on you. You don't want a donut.
Sugar all over you.
In fact,
no, that is sugar.
Don't get my donut mad.
You must weigh like
you don't want to
350 pounds.
Now he's donuts. Like a regular guy.
Can you
he's
imagine the hot dog champ doing the same thing?
It's really?
Like
look,
neighborhood
there he is.
Dog
look, there he
running
is.
Away
look, there
with
he is.
Sausage
and how do you
wings?
Know he was there? Because regular they had guy. Drippings of mustard and man.
Oh,
and
my
stop.
Ketchup
stop.
On
stop.
Fingerprints in the mustard.
Exactly. In the glaze.
Exactly. The glazed donuts. You know, this man is like, he is one of those kind of people who stands in front of the Krispy Kreme donut sign with his blinking.
We're writing another subject, Mark. Yeah. Yeah, I love donuts, and you're making me hungry.
I understand.
Yeah. I do have a sweet tooth.
Standing in front of the Krispy Kreme with the bolt cutters.
Staring at the light as to see when it's going to be hot Krispy Kreme.
Pun on cliche that the cops sponsor the donut eating contest.
This is an idiot. This is a fool. He needs intervention quickly.
Then they have to find
him. Like you said, we got to get him off the
donuts. That could be me.
It could be bad. It could cost the government a lot of money, but I bet we could get a grant to do this.
Wow.
Because the guy in the office, the Oval Office, is a donut himself.
Ooh.
I'm sorry. I didn't really want to go there, but you just led me to that.
You're too delicious, Sports Radio.
This whole article that did it.
Yes, right.
About the donuts.
I'm in the donuts, man.
Donuts.
Night Shift. It's my favorite show. Now it's yours.
Mr. Guest, I have a story for you.
Oh, really?
Yes, this is an interesting one.
Okay.
This is an interesting, and what's more interesting is that they have photos. Okay, I have to put this on the Night Shift page. As a matter of fact, I'm putting it on the Night Shift page.
Yeah, I get to see photos.
Before you even, it's just, okay, everything about it is just weird. But I have to say, I love this track here. This is very, summer. And that'll be the theme for the winter DGM. That it's cold out, so you need music to make you feel like it's summer.
Bring back some heat.
Tell me you're not ready.
I am so ready.
This is like I'm on a beach somewhere. Sunglasses, sweat,
rum punch,
sand,
beautiful women,
beautiful men.
Ha!
People.
There you go.
Beautiful people.
In the sand.
And you tune to Listener Sponsored Radio. Turn this up.
the Grin Reaper. Buddhist monk appears to smile as his body is exhumed 2 months after his death, so his clothes can be changed in Thailand. This is from Daily Mail, UK. Let's see. Can I read this? Yes. Incredible pictures show a Buddhist monk wearing a smile on his face after his body was exhumed by his followers 2 months after he died. Revered monk Luang Phor Pian died aged 92 on November 16th last year after succumbing to illness in a hospital in Thailand's capital, Bangkok. Pian, who was originally from Cambodia, spent the majority of his life serving as a well-known Buddhist guru in the central Thai province of Lopburi, where his body was returned after he died. This week, when his followers removed his body from its coffin, which
had
been kept...
To change his clothes, that's a little bit of an interesting detail.
Well, it is an interesting detail. His body had been kept at the temple where he served, and they were shocked to find it was remarkably well preserved. Reports said that the monks had removed his body in order to fit him with new, clean robes. Interesting detail. Amazingly,
as opposed to the death-soiled robes.
Yes, well, I think that makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
Amazingly, Pian's corpse appeared to be smiling with followers snapping pictures of the incredible moment and sharing
snapping
it.
Snapping pictures of the followers, smiling two-month-old corpse, Byron.
Instagram followers.
Different culture, that's all I'm saying.
Snapping pictures of the incredible moment and sharing it to social media.
Byron,
I think what's
different
important.
Culture. Yeah,
the monk's followers will continue to pray for him until he is finally laid to rest in a ceremony to be held on the 100th day after his death.
I think what's important to acknowledge and recognize in cultural and ethnic diversity as it comes to the ceremony of the passing is to understand that these are... That's right. This is not like, oh, he's gone, we've celebrated.
This is a continued, like, right. They're changing his clothes. This suggests that they're going to continue to do
but
this.
But remember, the Egyptians, in their burial ceremonies...
That's what I'm getting at.
...really anticipated the journey through that particular passage of life and death into the next phase of one's soul and connecting back to the body again, if that's possible.
I wonder
well,
if
Eugene put it in his will that he gets an Elvis outfit and then he changes over to a Hendrix and then he changes over to a Mick Jagger.
He has a closet
and then
full
he
of
changes, yeah, it's various various rock star outfits he's got.
I love it.
It's in his will.
I mean,
will,
is that not
you're
smiling.
See them. It's the collection of
exactly.
You should see them.
Okay. All right, no, let Mr. Getz finish her. Yes,
that's the end of the story. But I mean, I'm just looking at this personally.
I put it up on the Night Shift Facebook page,
you know,
by the way.
It kind of appears N-I-T-E, not only to be smiling, S-H-I-F-T. But kind of doing like one of those like Elvis lip things.
Kind of a smirk.
Yeah, like a little bit of a smirk.
Show the face to Byron.
Yeah, I see
Byron, you see that? Yeah, you see the kind of angled
now,
smile.
In the passageway, in the hallway to, from one place to another.
In the hallway?
Yes.
From, are you speaking on an esoteric? Are you speaking in abstract, Byron? Oh, yes. As you walk down the hallway of the passage of one dimension to another.
To the next.
Yes. Tell me about this hallway.
In
are there sconces?
In his temporal spirit.
Huh. Is it temporal or temporal?
Temporal spirit. He would be able...
Spirit tempura. It's like flash fried.
That's right.
With
he would
panko,
be able
bread
to engage a physical transition. Because if he is a man of peace, and this is kind of interesting because they're honoring a man of peace by honoring him in his passageway
to make sure that he is continued in the honor so that the story does not die. It's how you build a legend. It's how you continue the story of someone who you really respected and brought forward to a place of honor where the people in that community
would you like any of this in your will,
that
Martin?
Story.
Do you want any of this in your will?
No, I just want to have a party where everybody would enjoy my going.
An orgy?
No, not an orgy. That's a party.
Byron wants it's I want in his everybody will. Laughing. It has to be an orgy.
And having a good time dancing.
And dancing. I want,
yes, dancing.
Dancing.
Yes.
What kind of flowers?
A potpourri. I love
a potpourri of flowers. Byron's potpourri.
What are you people talking about?
This is Byron's funeral.
Byron, we're not talking about your funeral.
I know. I'm not no, either.
So how did we get there? How did we get there?
He's Byron. He's Byron.
No, he's Byron.
Byron, how did we get there?
But anyway.
Favorite flowers.
Coming back to the main process of answering this question tonight is to find out.
Oh, you mean the what do you do in excess?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to answer that now?
I had an answer.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready for you, Byron. He's going to tie it all together now, Eugene, by the way. Oh, yes.
I would spend the time.
Wait, that's not an answer to the question. You haven't told me what it is you do in excess yet.
He forgot what the question was.
He's got a new question.
I wrote
is this a new
down.
Question?
No, I wrote down the question.
All right. I'm going to let you go out on this
what
limb
I would,
there, Byron.
But I would listen.
I'm listening.
The place where I would like to see all the efforts that I bring to my development so that I can do it.
Are we talking about your funeral or the excess?
No, so that I can do it in excess is to know that I have perfected the manner in which I can bring peace on earth, goodwill to all men, women, children,
and nations. Clothe the naked. Yes, we throw that in there. Byron, you remain consistent.
You were funny.
That's right. I was
you
the gotta same.
You got to love Byron. You got to love Byron. No matter what you do, he can bring it back to the same point. Remember that's how your parents could tie everything to the fact that, you know, you failed a class, they could tie everything into that. Byron's true.
Not really. I know you just got my ass whooped.
That's okay.
Byron Saunders. I'm with you. Wherever you go, Byron, I'm with you.
Remember the word I said was my challenge for this year because that was the last time we had the night shift show.
Your challenge word for the year?
Yeah, we had the theme was, what would be your challenge for the new year?
Okay, so that was Byron's interpretation. No,
well, yes, but I said my word was courage. Courage to stand up in the storm. Courage to stand against the negative and be righteously positive. Because if we're going to change the world, it's got to start with what I do first in my first step.
I'm with you, Byron.
Well, you know what? Since you weren't here, Eugene, we can ask you also, what was the biggest lesson you learned from that this is what the question was, just so you know, not Byron's interpretation is different. But what was your biggest lesson you learned in 2017?
That anything can happen in America. All right.
Anything?
Hello.
Really? Anything at all?
All right, the phone number here is 347-335-0818. What do you do in excess? Yeah. Byron's going to answer all kinds of questions.
I'm going to answer that, too.
Jesse's Byron.
I'm going to answer it, too.
I want to hear it, but all right. I think I'm going to go to Eugene.
All right, we're going to go to
Byron for later because, he's Byron, and it's only... It's only 12:50. So
we've still can't get to Byron yet.
2 hours and 10 minutes. Right, so Eugene, what do you do in excess?
I think I drink too much. Can I have some more of that stuff?
Yeah. See, there you go.
Oops. That's supposed to say it on TV. But can I just say one thing?
We're on the radio, by the way.
I'm going to give them the pledge line, which is 516.
No, don't give them the pledge line. Don't. Because we're not pledging yet.
We don't have to pledge.
If they want to give some money just because they love us.
Suppose they feel like giving right now.
Because next week, 2 weeks, we're going to be in marathon. So save your money. Save your money.
You would want to sell? You want to have some pre-sales?
No. I want to have a good February. Good February. Okay.
Send your money.
Right? This is a free show.
Well,
free.
We got
show's
Valentine's
free.
Day.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
What's Valentine's Day?
I'm sorry. Give out that number right there. Eugene, can you read that from there?
347-335. There it is. Yeah, I can read it from there. 347-335-0818.
The name of the show.
Night Shift.
a story for Eugene to read as well. But also, Eugene, just so you know, because you haven't been here in such a long time, I actually, as I was culling, I pulled, you know, I do a search every now and then. I'm into this new thing where I'll just do a search and I put a certain word and I look for what music do I have that has that word.
Right.
Like I have one where I did montage and I pulled together. I have a playlist now called Montage. And so I put in Eugene and, you know, about, you know, 6-8 songs came up. Some of them from movie soundtracks and stuff. But I'm going to play one of the Eugene tracks. You ready for this, Eugene? I didn't realize that this track, you'll know this track, but I didn't realize this track was called, Call Me Eugene. Did you know this? That's not even the track. All right, I'm going to play a different track. This is a track called Call Me Eugene. But another track that I did not realize from Pink Floyd.
Nice. Careful with that axe, Eugene.
Yeah, careful with that axe, Eugene. Yes, you know that.
He's a rock and roll scholar.
Don't even try that. But you don't know about this one.
No, this one.
This one is called Call Me Eugene.
And who does it?
It's Michael Nyman.
And why are we playing this?
Because it's your name. Oh, it's a soundtrack to Gattaca.
Oh, is that right?
A track called Call Me Eugene.
You're all right, let's hear it.
It's an excellent piece of music. That's all I can tell you.
Careful with that accent.
Somehow, I feel this is not the track. This is not the track.
However, that was very entertaining music. Okay, DGM.
All right, you know, for some reason, this playlist I printed out is not what's the order in which
it appears.
Order in which it appears. But I do have some really interesting songs for you on here. But we'll get to it. I know the track. Anyway.
What happened to my Eugene song?
Well, I'll get to that. Don't worry.
Promises, promises.
Don't worry about that. Now, this is an interesting story because it brings up an interesting topic, something I never heard of. You've all heard of microaggressions.
Yes.
We've heard that phrase. You know what microaggressions are. And so I'm going to let Eugene do this, considering
let me do what?
Are we going to read the story, Eugene? Do you need some glasses here?
No. How about a better story?
This is a good story. It's perfect.
Let's see.
You can read the headline first.
Well, the headline is fascinating, fantasizing about someone else.
Fantasizing.
Whatever. That someone is not cheating. Oh, why? You don't want me to read this.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
All right. I'm going to give out the donation number again. Okay. Let me ask you a question, people. What counts as cheating? It's a question best answered by you and your partner. As you decide together what your rules and boundaries are, being monogamous or not, there are many ways to be happily committed. Are you with me so far?
I'm with you.
We're with you.
You know, basically what they're saying in here today.
No, I want to hear the article because they break it down.
Because they ain't breaking nothing
they're
down.
They're breaking it down.
All right. There are also, it seems, many ways to cheat. Last week, my Twitter feed. Now, this is not me. This is the article. Mm-hmm. I don't want to read the rest of this.
Read it.
Can I ask a question?
Read it. Read it.
I got a better.
You can't ask the question until we get the
content. I got a better story pertaining to cheating.
Listen, I want to hear that after
garbage.
You read this.
Garbage.
Listen to me. All read right. it.
Last week, now I'm saying, it says my tweeter. I don't have tweet. Whoever's listening.
That's because
right.
you called it
this
tweeter.
This is the article.
You called it tweeter, and it's
that's
Twitter.
Right. Thank you very
so
much.
I know you don't have it.
Last night, my Twitter fed was flooded with articles on so-called micro-cheating.
Micro-cheating.
That's the Byron, key word there.
Write that down.
Byron. Write it down.
As fast as we
all see. Right, okay, not fast enough. All right. Minor activities that stop well short of having sex with someone else, but that supposedly constitute infidelity in their own right because they're involved temporarily focusing on your attention, whether it's physical or emotional, or someone else other than you is the partner. Now, I can relate to this.
Okay, I know. That's why you're reading it.
That's why you're reading it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, this is not me. This is the article.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. It's all in your Twitter feed.
Yeah, my Twitter feed does not exist.
There's a disclaimer
for
every segment.
Hummer. It's on a donut in my. All right, he's the Foghorn Leghorn this week.
Foghorn, I love it. I love it.
What you're about to hear is a true story. We do not judge on the story itself.
Yeah, listen, let him tell the story, Byron. Go ahead, Mystery Eugene.
Oh, thank you. So, micro cheating.
Cheating, yes, go ahead.
It says, at first I was tempted to ignore micro cheating and to dismiss it as yet another fleeting internet trend.
Micro cheating.
Micro cheating. Have anyone ever done micro cheating?
Let's read the story. We can understand.
The story's almost done.
I once had macaroni and cheese cheating.
Stop. That sounds good, man.
Stop it.
I might get involved with that.
Pay attention to the man in the red shirt.
I love that. Okay.
On Star Trek,
you continue. Is that like when your partner is smaller?
Baby, you ain't had.
Lesson.
Okay, I'm going to finish this article.
Micro cheating.
Okay.
It kills me.
Cheese cheating. Yes, go ahead.
All right, so this guy was thinking about doing micro cheating, and he thought it was good. But he found that he just couldn't let it go. The concept points to some commonly held belief that far too many Americans have about their love lives. Beliefs that they could cause them unnecessary heartbreak in the long term. Micro cheating.
Micro cheating.
Now, did you just say police?
No.
Oh, pop.
Is that the old article? That's it?
Pretty much.
That's it. Wow. Micro cheating. Now, Byron.
Yes.
You micro cheater.
That's right. That's right, you micro cheater.
Let me ask you a question now.
As a micro cheater.
Now, there's a lot of theories out there about.
Yes, I have a theory.
And of course, this could fall into what you do in excess and have to keep in check.
Yes.
But there's a lot of theories out there about there's a certain amount of titillation.
Yes.
That being able to acknowledge what titillates you, what turns you on, adds to the relationship. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's probably the step before foreplay, and that's called threeplay.
Mm. Mm. Where there's somebody in your mind.
Yeah, because you're playing
threeplay.
The game. You're playing the game.
Is this patented?
Yes,
Byron
very patented.
Saunders?
This is very patented, because you're trying to get to foreplay. So
are you listening
close
to this, Mr. Yes? I wonder your opinion on this.
Oh, yeah, I'm listening.
This Byron, yes.
You know, it's like at some point, y'all are playing the game of dating. And
right,
dating
what about you,
is,
Byron?
What is dating?
Do you micro cheat?
Dating is a ritual of sexual attraction.
Micro cheat.
Ritual of sexual attraction.
Micro cheating.
There's no romance there, Byron.
That's if you choose to have romance.
Mm, so you can date without romance.
There's a
date without
that
romance.
Does happen,
I like that, Byron. Let's write about that.
Well,
Eugene?
Yeah.
You've micro cheated.
No, I just regular cheat. Forget about the micro shit. Not supposed to say it on the radio. I beg your pardon.
He has.
I did.
I like the.
I don't do it now. But I'm just saying. I don't. What is this micro stuff? If you're gonna cheat,
what about micro aggression?
Real?
Like, don't beat around the bush. Just punch him in the face.
Not the same as macro cheating.
Micro cheating, micro aggression.
No. What is that?
What about micro achievements?
That's like drinking light
like
beer.
Would you
agree,
check
DJ,
something off your
like
to-do list?
That's like drinking light beer. Why, if you go drink beer, why you drink light beer?
Mike Miller used to call it diet beer.
Cheating,
like, why drink diet
cheating
beer?
Cheating one way or the other, or the other, right?
You know. All
right,
now
micro cheating is just another way of cheating.
I've heard from the men.
Yes.
Now I want to hear from the woman.
Micro.
What are your thoughts on the whole concept of micro cheating and contextually? The idea that having a healthy acknowledgement of what turns you on or being attracted to other people adds to the relationship versus puts it in danger.
Oh, well, I can imagine it's a way to kind of openness about what's attractive to whom and why and how and, you know, how it makes the person feel, what it inspires. I mean, I feel like that's the kind of thing that honestly with discussion would bring a couple together if they're meant to be together. But at the same time, you know, I think we each have our own private realms. I think we all do as human beings, you know.
Private realms.
And I think culturally, you know, depending on which culture you are of or aligned with, you know, there's a sort of taboo of certain thoughts, certain feelings, certain realms, you know, certain admissions, certain, you know, I feel like many of us are suppressed or in denial or afraid of being open of who we are and what we like and what we're into and what we sneak on the side and, you know, you know, how we squeeze who or what into our lives. So, you know, but I feel that, you know, if there's some kind of scenario or cheating is involved, there's obviously some kind of primary relationship that's at play.
I love that we can break it down in the dynamics of that, because I think what's really essential is very important to understand that what life between us as sexes was always supposed to be a conversation between friends.
Between friends.
Because if we're going to
What is a conversation between friends? What is dating?
This
sex.
Oh, sex. Sex is a conversation between dating, friends. I'm with you on that. Sex. I have some theories on that.
Because at the point at which if we're going to fight each other, there's no way you're going to find a place of peace on the plane that you're trying to experience.
A place of peace on the plane.
That you're trying to experience. Now, it's a sexual experience, yes.
Are you trying to have a place of peace on the plane?
So, it should be about what is life really all about. Place of peace. But trying between the two of us to try and have conversations between friends, not enemies.
I hear you, Byron. I hear you.
Sure.
Vote for Byron.
I feel like the definition of enemy and friend and significant other, however you want to call it. I mean, I feel like sometimes we're asking for too close an alignment from our allies, from our significant others. I mean, we're this kind of all in all and, you know, no trespassing and, you know, stay in my realm or else, or, you know, whatever. Well, you know, it's a bit tall of an order, you know.
Well, you know, can I say
how
this?
How low can you can go under the limbo?
Can I say this? And I think this is an interesting topic. And the phone number is 347-335-0818. I do want to say this, just to add to that to part of this conversation here, is I do think that, you know, your sexual identity and then your identity, they are connected, but they're different, you know, and, you know, depending on what you explore. Now, sexuality is tied into your romantic and your romantic ambitions and your romantic, what you want, your romantic goals. Your sexuality is tied into that, but so is just everything about you that's not sexual. There's still something that ties into that. Now, where they meet in the middle, that's the relationship. Like, is this relationship more sexual? Is it more romantic? Or is it more helping you be who you are or want to be or whatever it is you want to achieve in life? You know, depending on the age in which you get with someone. If you meet with someone young and you want to grow with them, or versus you've lived life and now you just want to have someone to chill with. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think the question or the conversation is about, what do you need? What kind of freedom? What is your identity? How much do you need to explore to still be satisfied, to stay in that relationship? These micro cheating. The micro cheating. Is the micro cheating about you exploring this part of yourself, keeping that active, you know, still being a purveyor of pulchritude? Or is it because the relationship is vulnerable and the only way you can stay in it is by, you know, being stimulated outside so you can not deal or ignore where you're not getting what you need?
Are you micro cheating?
Yes. Why are you micro cheating?
Okay.
That's the question.
Here's a solution that a very wise woman, a doctor in sociology, shared with me in a study that she personally could be a witness to. No names, but I just want to tell you what the study was. In a Big Ten university, University of Michigan, the proportion...
You say Big Ten?
Yes, Big Ten, University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, Michigan. In a study understanding the dynamics of
African Americans in their totality enrolled as students on the campus of the University of Michigan, they become a very small percentage. Now, add that to the women who are there, who outnumber the men. Where do they find their sociological mate with respect with respect to the fact that most of the African American men there are not scholars but athletes? And if they're dating white women, how do they then parse out the percentages of the men who are available to them to date in a social atmosphere, which college, as well as being educational, is about social, because half the time you find your mate there. At the point at which they have to then share the athlete who are the prime African Americans there, other than scholars.
Pretend he's available.
And ultimately, they are shortchanged because there's no men.
Let me make sure I'm understanding what you're saying.
I'm going to get ready to bring it home.
I want to make sure I'm understanding before you bring it home.
What you're saying is that these colleges,
the women are there for the intellect, for the intellectual pursuit. The men are there on perhaps athletic scholarships and have not developed that part of themselves and may not be intellectuals.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No. Okay. What I'm saying is that the athletes are being attracted to white females.
Okay.
Which reduces the number of African American males for these very qualified African American women on these campuses of some of the most prestigious campuses in the country. So their reduction of their access to male companionship through the 4 years of their development.
Okay, I'm with you.
I'm with you. See, not that it's wrong that they're dating interracially.
All right, so what's your point, though?
But the point is this. Sociologically, because of the reduced numbers, women on that campus engage in a game of social sharing. They share the remaining African American.
They share the men.
I understand what you're saying.
See, this is where you should go to college.
So in other words, they put up with it's their bull.
So what's your point, though?
The point is that because we're talking about the access and
is
making
that micro cheating?
Yes, we're talking about micro cheating. Micro cheating.
Because of blown Eugene cheating.
Because at the point at which because statistically, the woman that you're dating that's not dating an athlete. In this particular study on this particular campus, is that statistically they don't have access to their appropriate mates in the mating game, because we're talking about
I'm not dismissing it, Byron. Well, here's what I think is interesting.
Yes.
What I think is interesting is that there are a few things at play there.
Yes.
Okay, because you know, male or female, if you get to a point where you become the desired thing, you know, you're the object of desire. If you're the guy and now you're the object of desire of both black women and white women, and depending on where you came from, okay, you may not have had access to that attention or that option, and you explore it now. Okay, now that's human, that's male, that's power, that's whatever it is. That's a whole other thing that's going on as well. Now, the question I have to you, though, Byron, is in tying this all into this. So are you saying cheating is related to what you have access to, or putting up with the cheating is based on the circumstance of what your options are? Is that which are you saying?
I'm saying both, because you must give consideration to the environment and the context for which all this exists, and then ultimately being able to make a good choice and solution to the problem
let him do what he's doing, as long as he wears a condom.
I believe their moral and ethics, but
no, I just wanted to say, because you were saying that the sisters were
sharing,
right?
Does,
you know, then
openly.
Well, let me just suggest this to the sisters, though. Even though, you know, I'm a brother, I dig you and all that stuff.
Are you a brother?
Yeah,
you are soul brother.
Hold on, let me finish before I forget my line of thinking.
I was gonna say if she didn't have to put up with that stuff, and if that's the case, she can explore some other races herself. She could do that.
Yeah, but that's not against the law. Sure, but perhaps her thinking is, you know,
if you want to put up with it, then do it. Put up with it. If you don't, explore your other race. I know there's a lot of sisters that I'm just into a black man.
Like,
I understand that.
I'm dating white women. You're dating a black man.
No, I understand. Look, I know a lot of sisters like, I'm only going to date black. Well, you know.
But
I wouldn't put up with that if I was a black
man. What about the wall?
Listen, I
think the Mexicans should still pay for it.
No, you should love.
I like how you change subjects.
No, you should love who you want to love. That's the
Maybe
message.
It doesn't matter what color.
Let's hear from the Mr. I love you, Byron.
Really
I love you.
If they love each other,
Mr. Guest, what's your thought?
It's just reimagining the wall as kind of a ceremonial piece of fabric.
Now, I got Mr. Guest, would you marry a Mexican?
Why not?
Because ultimately, if the wall goes up and your Mexican man may not get to you.
What? Well,
that is,
you know.
I've
never done the long distance relationship thing personally.
Yeah, but if you lived in New Mexico, it wouldn't be that long a distance.
Oh well, I mean.
Byron saying if he gets deported, now what are you gonna do?
Yeah, if Byron gets deported.
No, that's a serious issue.
Did you know? Do you remember the show Party of Five?
I mean, I would.
You remember
go to
that
Mexico,
show? By the way, do you remember that show Party of Five?
I would live big and save
Hello?
Money.
Hello, does any of you remember show Party of
no,
Five?
No, we don't, Mike. All right. No,
anyway.
Party of Five.
Let's stay sure where you're watching.
No. Anyway, it's been recast as a Mexican family.
I mean, there's no way to describe it. It's an orgy.
Been deported. Anyway.
Or, you know, threesome, a twosome, or, you know, however. You know, one solo member.
347-335-08.
Larger pack.
99.5 FM.
That's right.
So good to be here, Mike.
Night shift.
347-335-0818. Come on, we're inviting you to the party.
That number again.
347-335-0818. Call us. We want you to join the party. We're having fun.
I want to talk to somebody.
Come on. Pick up the phone and give us a call. And be on night shift where the party is happening. Yes, Mike. Sorry.
Do you like that piece of music here?
It took me to a place where I was in a very
deep part of my mind.
Yes.
I really appreciate it.
It's a reworking of Tangerine Dream piece from Risky Business.
Okay, okay. Risky Business. I remember that.
You remember that, huh?
Yes. So, you ready for this?
What you got, Byron?
Well, this is congrats to this kid on her budding medical career. Oh, my goodness. January is rolling along, and a lot of people are looking for some fresh hobbies. Well, have you considered cutting the faces off of dolls, then transplanting them onto other dolls?
I thought about that.
You are willing to sacrifice yourself to cut faces and put them on other faces.
Mystery guest, she tried to give me one of those kind of dolls, and I was like, no, thank you.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, for 1 7-year-old at least, this pursuit is working out well.
Seven?
Yeah, she's 7 years old. So well that an image of her handiwork that was posted by her sister, Caitlin, on Sunday has been retweeted over 18,000 times. Wow.
This 7-year-old girl. Yeah, exactly. A 7-year-old girl who is transplanting the faces of dolls onto
the dolls.
Yes, you go to Nightshift Facebook page, NITESHIFT.
The face.
There it is.
Cutting around the face.
Mr. Guest, what are your thoughts on this?
She's going to be a surgeon.
Yes.
Thoughts.
Yes.
Oh, well, you know.
Scary.
7 years old.
She's either going to be a surgeon or something else.
Yes, this image is deeply disturbing because
I was that parent.
It reminded me immediately of Dwight wearing the CPR dummy's face on The Office, but it's also awesome. Caitlin explained via Twitter DM that her sister is a big fan of playing doctor. You see, if my mom is sick or whatever, she'll make fake IVs and oxygen masks to put on.
Interesting.
Her. It's funny, she said. Well, whether she adds up a general practitioner or perhaps a plastic surgeon, this kid has a bright career ahead of her.
Now, quick question.
Yes.
What kind of access does a 7-year-old have to instruments that can cut a doll's face off and then put it on another? What kind of glue does this child have access to? I'm just asking. That's just asking. Mr. Guest, any thoughts on that?
I would say, what kind of parents?
I wouldn't put an X-Acto in a 7-year-old's hand, but that's just me. What, Mr. Guest?
Well, I feel that's a bit brutal. And
my assessment or
her actions? Yes, your assessment.
Okay.
You know, actions, I'm not sure how fit I am to judge these actions presently.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Saunders.
Well, that's pretty much the story. Because it then ends up with saying, and now we know what the inside of a doll faces look like. Now, that sounds kind of spooky.
Now, I picture Tim Burton reaching out to
goodness.
This little girl.
Of course, this is a Tim Burton special. Like. Anyway, she's at 7 years old. She's cutting off faces to replace other faces on dolls. And if she's
seven
not the
old.
Child of Frankenstein,
cutting
I don't know
faces.
Who else she is. Forget Chucky. This is the child.
Now, Eugene, you have a daughter, and if she was cutting off the faces of dolls,
I'm just curious. Would you be encouraging that? Would you think like, oh, my little surgeon?
I'd either have her arrested.
You would not have
her or as a potential whatever, or I would send her to medical school
right
at
now.
Seven,
right
you know,
like
and
develop her skills,
and let my wife pay for it.
Develop her skills because
well,
this
I
child
can see
is on her way
marrying
to be
you.
The best of the best.
I mean, you either got two choices there. You know, you either turn her in, or you have to pay for her college.
Turn her in. And either
your daughter, turn her in.
Either
turn
way,
her in, man.
That's right. Either way, because if she's on this path,
right.
Just think, she by the time she gets to the right age, she would have perfected
no,
even this
at
method.
At a certain point,
and
like,
it was
only,
seamless.
She
not
puts, only that, Byron.
Yeah, she puts Fido's face on Fluffy the cat, and you're like, where's Fido?
I don't know. He's over there with that cat's face.
Exactly.
At some point, you might have to sleep with one eye open.
No fur.
If you turn her,
she skinned Fido.
and is letting Fluffy sleep in the blanket of her.
She's doing this.
I'm just saying.
Mike, she's doing this all at 11 years old.
She's 11.
Yeah, exactly. She's 11 now.
Christina Ricci plays
her. It's a face transplant. That's exactly what it is.
She is. That's like Wednesday for the Addams Family.
Wow.
That's something Wednesday would do.
Face transplant.
So anyway, that's the story.
All right.
Amazing.
I think it's kind of amazing. By the way, I do have some music I'm going to play to you here on the show this morning, Baron. It's clear. Okay, first of all, okay, it's music that, now, you know, I play sound bites from obscure science fiction films. I play from, right, you know, some obscure Christopher Walken films. But one of the signature pieces of music, I mean, pieces of soundbite that I play is from Silent Running with Bruce Dern. Then, you know, some caller thought it was Bernie Sanders, I guess, which was kind of interesting. That's the first time.
I like Bernie.
Yeah, but do you think he sounds like Bruce Dern?
Not really.
Not me.
No.
But anyway, but this, it's a piece of music, Byron.
Yes.
The whole album, they're using sound bites from Silent Running.
Oh, cool.
Like, excellent. Clearly, they were like sitting in their room or their studio saying, this will get played on Night Shift.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to be playing that during the show, just so
Thank you
know. It's only 1:25, and you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio.
Night Shift. It's my favorite
WBAI
show.
99.5. End of the show.
I remember the first dance I went to, the music. I can't imagine just what things would be like the next 10 or 15 years. Some things seem a long time ago. I remember we were very happy together.
Thank you.
name of the show.
Night Shift.
The feeling you're having.
Night Shift. Oh.
Strange weather triggered bacteria that killed 200,000 endangered antelope.
What? Excuse me?
Endangered antelope. 200,000 in Kazakhstan.
Read that headline again.
Strange weather triggered bacteria.
Strange weather triggered. So this is a freak thing of weather that triggered a bacteria.
Yeah.
This is a global warming thing, Brian. Okay, all right, keep reading, please. I want to know all about this topic.
Over the span of 3 weeks in 2015, more than 200,000 Saiga antelope. That's S-A-I-G-A.
200,000.
Saiga antelope suddenly died in central Kazakhstan. Scientists knew that bacteria called Pasteurella multicida. Maltosida.
Why? I can't believe you
type
can't say that.
B.
Very good.
Thank you.
What is it?
Oh, you can make her say it again.
Pasteurella maltosida.
Pasteurella maltosida?
It's maybe pronounced maltocida. It's Latin, I guess.
Pasteurella maltosida.
Close enough.
Yes. It sounds appetizing, yes. But not.
It comes in vanilla.
At all. Type B. Cause the mass death. Now, new research suggests that the bacteria was already present in the animals. It was triggered and became harmful because of a period of unusual weather. Richard Koch, with a K, two Ks.
Richard Koch?
Koch.
Hi, I'm Richard Koch.
A professor of wildlife health and emerging diseases. Yeah, I mean...
Hi, I'm Richard Koch.
Professor of Wildlife Health and Emerging Diseases.
Who are you?
Yeah,
who are
you? Sounds like a nice night out. Yes, wildlife health. Sign me up for emerging diseases.
Like, come on, that's just the professor. Excuse me, who are you?
At the Loyal Veterinary College.
There is Richard.
Witness the rapidly
paging Mr. Cock.
Accelerating death. 200,000 Saiga antelope. You went from one or two animals.
200,000.
You went from one or two animals to within 3 or 4 days, thousands. And then they were all dead by the seventh day. Cock tells NPR.
That's what Cox says.
We're showing normal behavior, normal signs, normal grazing.
And then suddenly, they'd start looking a bit unhappy and stop feeding. Wow. Within about 3 hours, they were dead.
Where was this?
In Kazakhstan. Yeah, I guess that's technically Eastern Europe.
Russia.
Asia. Yeah, Western Asia.
On the other side of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Halfway around the world.
Yeah, it's a Stan, all right. Yeah.
So go ahead, please don't get caught up with.
And it happened across a landscape of several hundreds of kilometers. Cox says the animals showed clear signs of a form of blood poisoning called hemorrhagic septicemia.
That doesn't sound good. Doesn't sound good. Doesn't sound good.
Hemorrhagic septicemia. Sepsis, right? That's like a bad.
Sepsis, that's bad. That's bad. Juju. That's bad. Juju.
Death. And hemorrhage. Ooh, that's an interesting combo.
Not good.
Caused by the bacteria initially found in the tonsils.
Now you know that was the same area.
Hidden.
Don't listen to Byron. Keep going. Keep going.
The bacteria. That was in Belarusia, right?
Yeah, but Byron's going to throw bacteria, these conspiracy theories on you, and he just pay no attention to the man in red shirt.
Quote unquote, very rapidly goes within the bloodstream, causing hemorrhaging. It's so toxic and so devastating that the animal doesn't show a lot of pathology, actually, other than the hemorrhage and rapid death. But the bacteria alone were not enough to explain the mass fatalities, which only 30,000 of the area's critically endangered saigas survived. And they're very
30,000 out of 230,000.
The little newborn saiga calf nestling in the arms of a scientist of the Joint Health Monitoring Team is so cute.
200,000.
You must visit npr.org to look at this beautiful little saiga antelope.
I'll put it up on the website. I'll put it on the Facebook page. NITESHIFT.
In a paper published today in Science Advances, the scientists say that they believe virtually 100% of adults already had the organism present in their bodies. 100%
had it present. It's like herpes. It's like herpes in humans. Like, imagine if herpes turned deadly and everybody had it and everybody dies.
An environmental factor,
just like Planet of the Apes,
must have triggered the bacteria to proliferate and kill these animals at the same time. An environmental factor triggered it. The culprit, Cox says, is a period of unusual heat and humidity in the 10 days leading up to the mass death. The team developed models that looked at other extinction events, one in 1981 and another in 1988, where the animals are also believed to have died because of hemorrhagic septicemia. Environmental factors such as temperature, rainfall, wind, and the state of vegetation. You usually...
That's a good name for an album.
What's that again?
State of Vegetation.
State of vegetation.
I like that. Good name for the album. Get it, Mr. Guest.
Good name for an album.
You have unusually high levels of humidity each day over that 10-day period. And by doing that, we could really tease it out and get a significant correlation, says Cox. That makes sense, he says, because the bacteria in the tonsils, they're quite close to the environment of the air. And then they then basically, presumably, respond to that change in atmosphere, and that triggers them to start growing. The tonsils and or bacteria, I guess. The 30,000 surviving animals probably lived because they were out of the deadly climate envelope, says Cox. Some bachelor male saiga antelope moved further north, where the humidity was lower, he adds, and some females stayed in smaller groups in remote areas. And while they are now recovering and breed quickly, it's not clear whether they could survive another event like this. If we get a similar event and all the animals...
So, some females who got off and went into some pocketed areas survived this?
Males and females. I mean, it just says
so it's
that
just because they weren't... Were these pocketed areas with
the weather
was different there?
Yeah, some boys went north and some girls
so they stayed where it was
were
cold.
In remote areas.
I understand.
And while they are now recovering and breed quickly, it's not clear whether they could survive another event like this. If we get a similar event, and all the animals are within a sort of weather envelope, it could be total extinction.
Wow.
It could happen in a week.
Total extinction in a week.
Yes, like the dinosaurs.
Ouch.
Like the dinosaurs.
Well, you know, that's interesting because now it lends credence to how dinosaurs could have been wiped out. Like within something bacteria. Could have happened, some bacteria that could have wiped them out.
Well, there was a meteor.
Week. And that shows you just how
in
volatile
the Gulf of Mexico.
Life is. The balance of life is volatile.
It is. But you know, we'll survive any of that.
Well, you know, the Earth will survive, but a lot of species that live in once yeah. walked, once swam.
I think the New York rat would survive.
I think the roaches and the rats would be planted in the roaches. But go ahead, Mr. Guess. That's fascinating.
The Saigas have historically been resilient. They've lived on these lowlands since ancient times, ancient human times, roaming alongside mammoths, cockats. Yeah, those are ancient human times, right? Cavemen, mammoths.
Mammoth.
They coexisted, right?
Yes, for a short time.
Yeah.
Like a monster.
They're fast and adaptable. They're survivors, he said. So they're like as old as the human race. And they're like a little bit cuter. Mm. There's evidence
But they're not
that
like those 18-foot kangaroos that should have ruled the planet down in Australia.
The T-Rex, Kango.
Yeah, exactly.
There's evidence that unusual weather patterns could be having similar impacts in other animal populations, such as reindeer and musk ox. We may be looking at a much more global effect, he adds. Saigas are a legacy of ancient times, and it would be very sad to see them go. But they don't mention how cute they are.
The musk ox. Do you think...
They are cute.
I'm going to put them up over the website. Look at this, Barney. Look
he's
how
so
cute they are.
She's adorable.
200,000 of these died, Barney. Three years ago.
That's a
and
little
you didn't even
newborn
know.
That's what they call
Saiga antelope.
I'm going to put this on the Facebook page. NITESHIFT. On Facebook. Like us while you're there.
Was this an experiment that went bad?
The experiment is human beings. This is
no.
God's experiment is man.
No. God. No. I ain't buying that theory. Stop right there. Because it's somewhere along the line, the tampering of the normal and natural order of nature by itself was done and created and miscreated by man.
Right, but man was created by what?
Yes.
Exactly.
A sentient being. So whose
experiment is it?
Well, it's the choice of the experimenter.
Well, the choice of the experimenter is to let this experiment go where it went.
And where did it go?
We all know where it went. Trump is president.
Now, what are we going to do? Because I want solutions. I don't want just...
Solution, Byron?
Yes.
Night Shift.
DGM. Damn.
I have a story that advances the story. Now, we've all been hearing about the Tide Pod
fad. Yes, that's insane.
You've heard about the Tide Pod fad? All right, Mr. Gifts, you heard about the Tide Pod Fad, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, which is like, okay. So.
No, it's not.
Eugene, I'm going to let you read this story.
It's not okay.
It's like. Why me? This is the world we live in.
Hey, wait a minute. Didn't we just read this?
No.
It says Bakery makes controversial new donut base on Dangerous Kids Challenge.
There it is. Hold on a second. Hello, you're in the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
She saved me.
She saved you. No, yes. We'll come back to your story.
The article about the extinction of
the antelope, yes.
Precious little antelope that was...
Horrifying.
Endangered.
Yes. You know, Septus... is all around probably different mutations of the bacteria, but
mutation.
In humans, you know, they discovered in Australia in 1980, they did a very amazing discovery that horseradish, if you eat horseradish, it keeps human beings from dying from it. You know, we all have it in us, probably. We all have a certain amount, but the problem is the overgrowth of the bacteria.
Okay.
And the overgrowth can happen, you know, when people have too many antibiotics, things like that, that strip the system of balancing components, you know. So they did discover in Australia that, you know, and a lot of holistic people prescribe horseradish for septus. But
so, like, always get wasabi on your sushi.
Real wasabi.
Exactly.
I don't know if wasabi is the right, but there's different. I don't know that much about horseradish, but I mean I've eaten it. But you know it's very healthy for you. But wasabi sometimes is not real horseradish. You have to get the real thing.
Wasabi's not.
I think
real.
It's expensive, but for animals, no doubt. You know, no doubt. There's some. If who knows if they had eaten horseradish or whatever, but. The problem is, you know, when the temperature rises with global warming, what happens is these fungi become very moist.
Yes.
And they really proliferate.
Yes. And wipe out the antelope.
Unbelievably, you know.
Would you prescribe getting raw horseradish or powdered horseradish?
I think you could get horseradish and grate it or
from a beet.
Take it different ways. I'm not sure. I don't know.
She's not a horseradish expert. She knows it's good for you. Yeah. Okay, Byron.
No,
you need to research
it
and we come back here on the show.
All right. I'm trying to.
Mr. Guest can research it right now. Mr. Guest, look the health benefits of horseradish.
Horseradish.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us?
Thank
you.
I believe it improves circulation.
Of course it does. Because you get the blood rush to your face. You're like, pump, pump. Oh, snap. What am I eating?
Could I have a horseradish and a dog on the side, please?
Are there health benefits to horseradish?
Of course there is.
Oh, give me one.
Gets you going. Keeps you awake. Reminds you that you're alive.
Put some onions on
it.
That's right. Puts it on your chest.
Is that like wasabi?
Wasabi, but it's not always real. She said, remember, wasabi's not real.
Wasabi might be a paste.
What if I told you that wasabi was not real?
But this is the real
stuff. But it's real. It's a root vegetable.
Yeah but they in restaurants sometimes
listen,
they
ask
money
Morpheus,
to give you a knockoff berry.
That's true.
All right. That's real or not real?
Knockoff berry.
You want the real wasabi.
Sorry, I like a knockoff berry myself. Knockoff berry. I drink knockoff berry wine.
I got a California roll.
Knockoff berry wine. Isn't that in a song? We were drinking knockoff berry wine.
Teenagers are eating laundry pods because they see it happen on the internet. As a result, health professionals, parents, teachers, and the manufacturers themselves are imploring young people to stop eating the colorful detergents. You know what we're talking about, Tide Pods. Tide Pods are the most famous of all the washing liquid capsules. They look beautiful and are so fast, cause a curious reaction. Now, I heard about that with kids because they see the colors and stuff
not
like that.
Not just kids. Let's just emphasize. But
why are people eating this?
Kids.
Come on.
Who are stupid eating? Kids. Somebody said, oh, the teenagers, their brains are not formed. What? Listen to me.
Is it like a
listen
drug?
If you're my child and you eat a Tide Pod, you know, I did not raise you right. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, they did. The mall ahead,
you know, they didn't always have these. So when did they just start to get becoming popular?
They do look like candy, I will admit. But intellect should take over instinct. But anyway, finish.
Yeah, they do look like candy.
Finish.
But
this is a bakery.
Point.
A bakery's making them.
Okay. So there's a bakery that are making donuts in that image.
There it is.
As a
Tide Pod.
Tide Pod. I wonder what that tastes like. It's got to taste better.
It's got to be like, well, you're a Krispy Kreme guy, so.
I certainly
am. Please keep going.
That's it. I have nothing else to say.
That's it. Nothing else. What's the name of the bakery? Byron's going to go. Byron's
let's see if we can.
He's got his pen poised.
I'm going with you, Byron. I'm going with you. I'm going with you.
Some sugar.
I want some donuts. I'm that man.
Hella, you're in the air.
I am that.
Nope.
Yep. Who's this?
This is Cork. Dick
Cork. Dick Cork, is that you?
Dick
Cork.
Mr.
Cork. Professor Cork.
Professor Dick Cork.
Professor Cork with a K. Of course, with a K.
With two K.
Yes, with two K. Professor Cork.
Professor Cork.
I like it. Cork.
Out of Kazakhstan.
All right, yes. So what made you call? Do you have something you want to tell us that you do in excess you have to manage?
Yeah, I do. Well, the reason why all these antelope were dying is because they're having too much cork in their diet.
Stop now. Stop. Don't listen
too much
to him.
What?
Don't let him repeat it. Don't.
Okay, all right, I will. Well, I just wanted to get it right.
This is family radio here. That's right.
Sorry.
Skate the edge here.
I think we should build a wall around Brooklyn, too.
That's right. Hey! Listen, we should all live in walled communities. That's the future.
Yeah. And the Mexicans
Philip K. Dick novel. Life can be complete science fiction.
That's what gated communities are.
Well, I know what gated communities are. Well, America's going to be a gated community because a rich man has thought it. But I'm just saying.
I want a wall.
You want, of course you
property.
Do. Of course. But I say just a fleet of drones.
But sir, you only have 2,600 feet.
Just keep the fence. Get more drones. There you go.
Property.
We're all set.
We should all have portable walls that we can build for ourselves. Just walk around with them.
You know, what's your name, sir? What is your name? What is your name?
This is Kenny from the Boogie Down.
Kenny from the Boogie Down. Let me ask you a question. Were you laughing when we were making fun of Professor Cock?
I couldn't hold it. I almost crashed. I almost crashed.
That's all I want to know. Did we get you?
Yes, you did.
There it is.
Don't get him too good.
You got me with the
2Ks. With the 2Ks. There it is. There it is. This is what Cock said. So. All right. So how long have you been listening to the show? Kenny from the Boogie Down?
For years.
All right.
Every weekend, same thing, for years.
I understand. Well, you know, obviously.
And what's up, Byron? Foghorn Leghorn?
Byron is Foghorn Leghorn.
That's right.
Are you Byron? Are you? That's one of my favorite characters.
I say, boy.
I tell you, that boy is about as sharp as a piece of wet liver.
That's right. The boy talks so much, he gets his tongue sunburned.
I say.
Very good.
I'll say.
So, yes, all is well in the universe that I walk in.
Yes, of course. He goes down that corridor
we're trying to spread the joy. We're going to make this a better place for you and I.
That's right. He's going to clothe the naked.
Shelter the homeless.
That's right. He's got his live stream. Byron clothes the naked.
Give hope to the hopeless.
If you're naked, come down. Byron will give you something.
Bow tie.
We're ready for you. Come on.
Byron will give you something.
If Byron needs some of them tie pods.
That's right. He listened. He's into bow tie tie pods. He makes the bow tie tie pods.
Bow tie tie pods.
They're like a double tie pod that you wear. It's a double tie pod. Called the bow tie tie pod.
Remember the trick bow tie? Where you push the button and they spin around? That's what you need to.
Oh, Byron always has that. Yeah. Yes, he does. He has one that spurts water and sugar out
like
of you.
Like a pinwheel.
So you've seen me out in public. I wear that tie.
I know you do. I know you do.
Tie pod, pinwheel.
Tie pod, pinwheel. Right. Bow tie, tie pod, pinwheel.
Bow tie, tie pod.
Now say that five times fast.
A daisy on my lapel that spurts every time you want to pick a pet. Squirts.
All right, so Kenny, was there something in reality you want to tell us in excess that you have to manage?
No. That was it. That pretty much was it. You have me with the professor.
That's his name. We didn't make up that article. Laughter. We did not make up that article.
Behind the wheel.
I'm sure because she went in depth with it.
Yes, and she did.
I couldn't hear a word she said after she said, cough with 2 Ks.
Cough with 2 Ks.
It was out there.
I was done.
You were like, how is it C-O-K-K?
But you kept saying Richard. His nickname is Dick.
Exactly. Boy. That's what I'm saying. His name is Richard. Richard. Richard Cox. Who are you? I'm Richard Cox.
Excuse me. Who are you?
His parents knew. They knew.
Yeah, but listen, he's a James Bond knockoff.
Of course he is. Listen.
He's 003. He's 003.
I was going to say, what's your name? Richard Cock.
That's good.
Can I call you?
He makes women blush when he says his name.
Excuse me. Paging Mr. Cock. That's Richard. No, sorry. Is that, that's Cock. Please.
Stop. Richard, stop. I'm Richard Cock. My friends call me Dick.
I was just going to say, can I call you?
Are you tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio? WBAI.
Now listen here, okay? The girl I talk to, she's sort of neurotic. Yeah. Her crazy ex-boyfriend is really psychotic. Man. Scares the girl by threatening her life. Says, girl, you're dead if you're not my wife. Oh, beats her in public, beats her in private. Tried it round me, almost a riot. Said, forget him, don't you know he's a loser? Who would love a woman, turn around and abuse her? Only a fool, as described by the tribe. Here's another one who's on the fool vibe.
Wow.
You with that, man.
DGM.
I just go there and surprise you for a second.
Goodness, that was like...
Oh, you weren't expecting that.
No, I really wasn't. DGM Raps.
You weren't expecting it. You weren't expecting it.
Thank you,
Mr. That's because it's Night Shift.
Night Shift. It's my favorite show.
DG Rhymes.
The definition of damn good music is anything that takes you somewhere. It could be anything.
Yeah.
Any like genre.
The best.
Yeah.
The best.
Any style.
Absolutely. Any music.
Any language.
Non ci sto con la testa, sai che sto nel folle. E a dette rode perché sai che io sto sopra il colle. Vado giù duro, stai sicuro che divento nero. Se un piedi piatti becca un mio fratello e dice faccia contro il muro. Io non c'ho il ferro ma so cosa fare. Prima ero la preda, ora il cacciatore. Giorno dopo giorno, una rima dopo l'altra. Ma non basta, c'è sempre qualche cosa che non va nella mia testa. Resto lo stesso in piedi perché sento che dentro al cuore mio brucia il fomento. Dal buio profondo salgo in superficie. Sono l'elfo scuro tra la gente, perciò non mi do pace. Qualcuno confonde la mia storia con quella di altri. Se non ti piace quel che dico, non ascoltarmi però. Il dubbio resta sempre nella testa mia. E adesso scappo via dalla nuova fattoria perché non fa per me. Troppe ombre tutte uguali. E in giro troppi cani da guardia, troppi maiali. Io vado giù ma poi ritorno sempre su. Tu cercavi il cane ma ora il cane non c'è più. Ora il cielo sopra me sta diventando più verde e duro. E odio pieno, giù dall'elfo scuro.
I like that. TGM, that's nice. Come on, man. Right on it. Italian.
Really good, man.
Some horseradish on that. Yes, right there. You're only going to hit.
Nice shift. All right, this is a really interesting and bizarre story. I want to give it to Byron.
Yeah.
Because it's so up your alley, Byron. So up your alley. But I'm tempted to give it to Eugene. Because it's not him. But. All right, I'm gonna give it to Eugene, but I'm gonna put it up on the website, on the Facebook page, NITE.
But it's up Byron's alley.
It is up Byron's alley. You want me to give it to Byron?
Well, let me take a look at it.
I'll give it. Hold on. Let me put it on the Facebook page first, just so that people can.
Byron got excited.
NITE.
Just want to see what it's about. I'm gonna let you read it.
HIFT.
Panting. Just want to see what it's about. Panting with bated breath. Listen to me.
Life is like science fiction. There's, you know. There's so many things about life that make you feel sometimes like that you are in a book or a movie, you know. I often ask when I speak to writers, directors, producers, filmmakers, I ask them, you know, why do human beings need to tell stories? And one of the best answers I ever got, you know, was that it helps us make sense of life. And life at this point doesn't really make sense, okay? But, okay, all right. Let's come back. Okay, a lot of things don't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But what are we learning? What are we seeing here? If the point of a life, the life story, reality is to teach us, if we're all beings on some journey, teach us things. What is the point of irony? What is the point of coincidence? What is the point of the dichotomy of having the most racist, sexist, you know, candidate we've ever had while women and people of color are achieving things they've never been able to achieve.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
What is that all about?
Gotcha.
What is life really about? What is right?
All right, let me see that article.
I'm going to show you the article.
Yeah.
Let me see that thing. You set it up pretty good, Mike.
I set you up there pretty good.
Down.
Okay, here it is.
Let's deliver.
The title of this article.
Time traveler claims to have been to the year 6,000 and brought back this photograph of future city.
Life is like science fiction. And they still have photographs thousands of years in the future.
Well, I was going to say digital. What format?
Well, they're photographs. There should be like something we could step into. I don't know.
There's
a video, but you keep on scroll down. Yeah, I put the video. Go to the Facebook page. NITESHIFT.
He's going to give this to Byron anyway. Says he's up his alley.
A rare photograph from the future.
Absolutely, Byron's an alien, by the way.
I always knew that.
Just ask his esquire.
We know that.
Step aside, Doctor Who. This man says he has been to the future and has a photo to prove it.
Yes. If I was in the future and I was going back in time, I would bring a photo just to prove.
That's right.
Was he Michael?
That's what I would do.
So we can get locked up.
I would take video.
There's actually a bizarre video that shows the time traveler whose face is blurred.
Of course, because meeting, I can travel time, I can blur my face.
Meeting.
You know what I'm saying?
That's peanuts.
A reporter at an undisclosed location to reveal what he knows about secret technologies.
Secret technologies is happening right now?
And what the future holds.
Yes. Did he come back to this time for something specific?
In the year 6,000. You see, the self-appointed whistleblower who has his voice distorted.
That's a pretty even number to come back from.
Absolutely.
He is blowing the whistle a while.
4,000 years from now. Anyway, claims to have been part of a secret program.
Of course. They still have secrets in the future.
To send people forward in time.
Yeah, forward?
In the 1990s.
It's called a slingshot.
Whoa.
He says advances.
He's from the 1990s, but he went 4,000 years in the future and now he's back?
And he has the proof.
That's fantastic. Go ahead, Byron. This is great. It's going to be a TV series.
All right.
Show us the pictures. Netflix.
Well, the picture is actually there on Netflix, and it's actually Netflix been posted on
Sci-Fi or Netflix.
This is the gentleman here.
Keep going.
You see, time traveler claims to have brought a photograph back from the year 6000.
Oh, so he used 1990s technology to take a photograph of the year 4000. I love 6000. I love that.
Yes.
I love
now
that.
He says advances in medicine, government, and new technology will make modern life seem primitive.
Yes.
And humankind lives in peace under the benevolent rule.
We all make our own food
overlord
from the atmosphere and our own water. We just draw what we need and we go around and we chill.
She says there'll be an all-out overlord.
Is an overlord?
Yes.
Really?
There will be peace and under the benevolent rule of an
Of the overlord.
Of the overlord.
Under the benevolent rule.
Now, it's not
of
all
Of course there is.
Yeah.
No, I know
overlord.
That.
You know, the
that.
Question is, Byron. Yes.
No, I want to know about the overlord.
Yes.
Can we still have time?
Tide Pod Donuts.
Overlord?
Listen, you have those. You bring those to the future, you're a millionaire. People will pay all kinds of money. Go ahead.
Each unit self-sustainably governing in the future.
Listen, we're going to
overlord.
Overlord, it makes sense because everybody's chipped. Go ahead, Byron.
Like an inner overlord, I guess.
To prove his point in the middle of a rambling speech.
Of course, they ramble in the future.
Yes, right. He produces a photo of what an unnamed city.
It goes future rambles. Exactly.
Unfortunately, it is so blurred it has more in common with a Monet watercolor.
I took painting a picture in the future.
Than a futuristic cityscape.
It was a little blurry.
It's a little blurry and it looks like
a surreal
painting. Anyway.
But it's the future.
Hold your horses, he claims.
I guarantee it.
In the meantime, Travel Process Pictures
Travel Process Pictures. Oh, that's good. Yes, but you know, time travel distorts the photo.
Tend to get distorted as well as many other things. Now, he adds, now, I know a lot of you are going to find my story extremely hard to believe.
It came back
don't blame you if I was watching somebody claim these same things.
That's right, with blurry photos.
I myself would mostly likely not believe them.
That's right.
However,
does he have an Instagram?
It is my intention to deceive. It's not my intention to deceive anybody.
No, who talks like that?
No, I simply want
attention to deceive.
Time travel.
That's right. It's not my intention.
I grew up on 1950s science fiction movies.
I simply want to spread a message about the future of humanity and where the world is heading. Now, I have seen the way the world's changed and the technologies that have emerged, and it would blow your mind. And if you only knew the technologies that exist in the year 6000. In a bizarre twist, the time traveler begins weeping as he reveals he left a close friend behind.
He began weeping. He's like
who
a,
can never
he's
return.
Like a ham of the future.
You know what? I want to be I want to get a job as a time traveler.
Can I? Yes, you can. There's a union.
Yes. Check this out.
I do. I do it.
I know he's in a good place. He's talking about his friend he lost in the future.
He's
in a good place.
You didn't tell me about that part. In the future. I love that. That's a good title for a bet. I lost my best friend in the future.
Right, in a way, the future is like a utopia. But sadly, when we attempted to travel back,
we couldn't. I had a friend. It's a blurry photo.
Yes.
It's the time travel. This is like complete closure to his story.
He goes on to say.
Can't disprove it.
He goes on to say, I just wanted to see him one more time.
Of course.
He's got pictures of him wanting to see him one more time. Anyway, in an apparent reference to the film Downsizing.
Stop.
Yes.
I love that movie.
Yes,
by the way.
I did too. I really liked that movie.
First of all, it's getting no love. I loved it.
He adds, he says, in an apparent reference to the film Downsizing, he adds that in the future, technology will allow people to shrink down so space won't be
a
problem.
Miniaturization.
Whether you believe him or not.
CMDF.
You won't have long to wait. He says time travel will become common knowledge by 2028.
If that's true, they're going to screw up the past. Let me just tell you.
There it is. That's the story right there.
Wow. Is Jean-Claude Van Damme in this movie?
No, I don't think so. He's maybe his prodigy.
Time cop.
That's right.
I'm in, man. I'm in.
You're in.
I'm in. I love time traveling.
Gee.
I'm in.
Now, what if we could do it by just a picture alone?
Like you just
take a picture and then boom, you're right there. You wait. You develop it and you're there.
Brian, what technology is this?
This is the Polaroid 7.
The Polaroid. Is the Polaroid. Polaroid. Time travel.
Swipe the liquids across.
What's the phone number here, Brian?
The phone number is 347-335-0818.
Hello, you're in the air.
Good morning.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Who's this?
I'm calling from June 20th, 1955. your show on time travel is, you're late on that.
We apologize. We apologize.
Ever since I became comfortable with my homosexuality, I'm telling you that real honest. I'll be up front.
Okay.
I don't crave sugar no more.
Ooh.
Now you talk about a play on inner femininity, huh? Mm. I'd want to be a real man. What?
Do you eat the bow tie pods or just the Tide Pods?
No, I used to like the cinnamon buns.
Cinnamon buns.
But did you wear the cinnamon? Here's a question. If you're a homosexual man, did you ever, at any point, think of putting the cinnamon buns on your head and dressing up as Princess Leia?
Well, I gotta be honest with you, this is June 20th, 1955, and there are no cinnamon buns.
Yes.
It's Kafka on psychedelics. I love it.
Kafka on psychedelics. Can we quote that? Can we use that? Night Shift. Kafka on psychedelics.
Okay. Have a good night, guys.
Thank you, sir.
And ladies, be good.
All right.
That was great.
Kafka on psychedelics. I'll take that.
Night Shift. It's my
Kafka
show
on psychedelics
for professional use only. Thank you.
It's that late night music, you know.
Absolutely.
It's late at night.
Absolutely. Late at night. I'm like loving it.
Night DGM. Shifts on. Yeah. DGM.
So this is what's coming up in the catalog for the winter this 2018.
This is just your basic life is like science fiction.
I'm loving
this
it.
This is, now again, here's the question now, Byron.
Yes.
In the story of life.
Yes.
And what we're all meant to learn.
Yeah.
What is the purpose of irony?
Ah.
Because I say this as someone who leads a, you know, demonstrably ironic life. There's so much irony in my life. At a certain point, I got to tell you, it's like, I accept it at this point. I could tell any story from my life, it's dripping with irony. So I appreciate irony.
Give us one.
You know, I'll give you one, but Barnes going to give the story, then I'll give you one. I'll give you real life. I have so much irony.
Okay.
Give me some.
All right, I'll give you one piece of irony. Thank you. When I was a teenager, I used to listen to a show here in WBAI called Soundtrack, run by Paul Wonder, and I was addicted to this show. I would never miss an episode, and I would never stay. Now, again, this is through my teenage years, like 14 to 18, 19. I would always tape the show. It came on at like 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I would never stay over somebody's house unless I was set up to record it, because I recorded it. I was a loyal listener. When I became an adult into my early 20s, the first station that picked me up was WBAI for my radio drama. And when Paul Wonder passed, they asked me to take over his show. So I ended up hosting the show that I grew up listening to. Tell me that's not ironic. And that's just one story. I could go on.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So Byron, good, go ahead. Good. Talk to me. There you go.
Very good, Byron.
Well, the story that I have, I'm sure, is based in a lot of irony. And we'll come back to answer your postulation here, because we're hearing both sides of this coin.
Yes.
This particular
What's
story.
The purpose of irony?
So, yes, rapper with song, sell drugs, gets prison for selling drugs.
Now, sell drugs, how does he spell that song?
D-R-U-G-S-Z apostrophe.
And that's like the name of his song,
Sell Drugs.
That's his hit, Sell Drugs.
Drugs.
Okay. Mystery guest, you have this song?
The song?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I've got it.
Very good.
Yeah,
are you ready?
Yes.
A Rhode Island rap artist whose songs include a tune entitled Sell Drugs was sentenced to 3 years in prison Wednesday for selling drugs.
Wow. Well,
that's, you know, there it is.
That irony? I don't know.
That's, you don't think that's irony? I think that's irony. That passes for irony.
Totally.
Do you have any irony in your life?
Yeah, I do.
All right, tell me some irony, because I have so much. I can top anybody's irony.
Oh, I got so many of them.
Give me some.
I'll just give you a quick one. Because you were saying about WBAI.
Yeah.
I went to an acting school in Buffalo. I'm from Buffalo.
Buffalo?
Yeah, you knew.
You're a Buffalo boy?
Yes, I am.
Buffalo boy.
Yeah, from Buffalo. But anyway, I went to an acting school there. It was our only Equity House Theater. And I went to an acting school there. And then maybe about 3 years later, I was a teacher there.
Okay,
nice.
That's not
a son comes home.
Specifically ironic, but it could fall within the spectrum irony. Of irony. Yeah, it could fall. That's
I like that.
The rainbow.
That's not the rainbow irony. Okay.
Who are you to judge?
I am the ironic master.
I am an ironic master.
All right. That's who I am. You ask who I am?
Ironically, I am the ironic master.
Yes.
Excuse me, Mr. Ironic.
Yes.
I want to
ironic master.
Irony in the situation presently.
No, there's no irony here.
All right. Well, get out irony. Get out of here right now.
I have spoken.
Thank you. No more irony.
But that was an irony. What would you call it?
That's following the path.
That's it. That's, yeah, maybe.
I'm just saying it's lightly ironic.
Yeah.
Slightly ironic.
I thought it was.
Yeah. I have a lot. So much. Too many.
Irony is all about
too many.
The the world's opportunity to make you laugh.
Is that what it is? See, I feel irony has got sense of humor.
Yes, it's got to have sense of humor. Otherwise, you'd be in remorse crying all the time.
What do I know?
So irony is about light of heart.
The inverse?
The inverse of
remorse.
Yeah.
The inverse of remorse.
So that you have to laugh at your foibles.
What, now, so let me ask you, when you're infidelity, micro-cheating. The opposite is fidelity. So if you have a relationship full of fidelity, it has nothing to do with music.
No, it has lots to do with music because it's the harmony that you're working towards.
It's you!
And if you have disharmony,
it's just to do with
understanding. It has about harmony, peace.
Yeah,
harmony.
Buddy.
I want good harmony.
Byron says that he's got like a fur collar when he's talking.
I want your harmonics.
Ooh. Byron Saunders. I like your bass, baby. He'll be here all week.
That's what I'm talking about.
You tuned to Listener Sponsor,
WBAI
Radio
99.5.
32 minutes left.
Yow, where did the time go?
Count me down the blast off.
It's my favorite show.
Into the future.
Nice.
Micro cheating.
Yeah, pass me one of those tied icon things, would you, Mike?
Life.
Is there a dip for micro cheating chips?
Chips.
It's like science.
Ambiguous.
Fiction.
Make my dip jalapeno. I like it hot.
Night shift.
Night shift.
And let me get some horseradish.
Hot baby.
Yeah.
Please pass the horseradish.
Night shift. Life.
To Mr. Michael.
I'm feeling it. You can feel it.
Night shift.
It's invisible. But you can feel it.
Night shift.
That's so it's not in your tongue.
Hissing stone on sweat lodge fire. Around me, buffalo robe, sage and bundle, rub on skin. Outside, cold air,
stand and wait for
rising. You have to read that, Mr. Guest. You have to read it. It's too good. You just read the title. Eugene will be interested.
Eugene, I'm so sorry you had to read that horrible article earlier about micro-cheating. You must have been so embarrassed.
I was. For the record.
Alabama man accused of sexually molesting horse. From Fox News, an Alabama man has been accused of repeatedly sexually molesting a horse after its owner believes she found evidence of his crimes left behind in a barn stall. Daniel Bennett, 18, of Irvington, is awaiting trial after he allegedly told Mobile County Sheriff's Office investigators he attempted to molest a horse, AL.com reported. The owner of the 20-year-old steed told WPMI-TV she found Bennett in the barn Thursday night.
Found in the barn.
After her dog's barking led her to the scene.
Oh, no. The scene.
He's into older horses.
Stop! You made that up.
Owner Francine James and her husband.
I'm sorry. I was trying to hold it up until that point.
Who was that?
He's like
armed with a gun. Reportedly found Bennett hiding in a barn stall.
Hiding in a barn stall.
Upon being found, James said he told her that he likes horses. He wanted to pet the horse.
I wanted to pet it, that's all.
Bennett was reportedly held at gunpoint by James' husband.
Oh, snap.
The husband had a gun until police arrived.
Get away from my horse!
The dogs were barking. Police reportedly discovered
dogs barking, gun on you. What are you
Bennett
doing? I'm just petting it.
Had a trench coat with a burglar's tool.
What?
In it.
What?
I have a simple question.
Now wait, let the story finish, then you ask a question.
James doesn't believe this is the first time Bennett has inappropriately interacted with her horse. She told investigators she found what she believes to be evidence of Polly in Polly's stall multiple times throughout the month of December. I would say 7, maybe 10 times, James told WPMI. Toilet paper had been left. The haystacks had been removed. Items had been turned over. And that's as far as I want to go.
There you go.
Bennett's arrest warrant lists his crime of bestiality as a misdemeanor, claiming he, quote, engaged in or submitted. Submitted to any sexual contact with an animal, to wit, a horse, AL.com reported. Well, listen, apparently engaged in or submitted. It was an older horse. Bennett was charged with possession of burglar's tools, sexual misconduct, and second degree criminal trespassing. He's scheduled to appear in court January 18th. This article is in the past from January 9th. I wonder what the verdict was.
A crowbar?
Or, you know, the arraignment or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Seriously, burglars' tools.
Burglar? I want to know what some...
Haystacks turned over? Turned over haystacks. Toilet paper turned over haystacks.
Could somebody look up burglars' tools?
Horse porn.
What I want to know. Right. We might be surprised what falls under the category.
I want to know if the horse testifies.
Check his browser history. That's all I'm saying. All. That's horrible, though. I mean,
I'm from the horses.
Ugh. Mr. Ed's special victims unit.
I mean, who is the
Wilbur.
How did this kid even find this horse?
Ice Cube. We can get what's his name to play in the new victims unit crime. Horses being raped.
It's like a neighbor boy. What is the?
Now you're getting the real deal.
What's going on?
They weren't just horsing around.
He needs serious therapy.
He needs a very serious,
very therapy. Serious therapy.
Serious, yeah.
But you know, if you're in the horses, is that against the law in that state?
Yeah, I don't really know if a girlfriend's going to help him through this. I think he needs some therapy.
The horse's point of view, the horse is being victimized. I think, hold on.
Come on, you would have to say this.
Is this consensual or not consensual?
What is consensual?
I hate to say this, but you would have to get it from the horse's mouth.
From the horse's mouth?
The horse's mouth, you say.
That's bad.
That's bad. I don't think horses are.
That's the absurdity of the planet. This whole notion of why would we even take it to the cinema? Because it's ultimate storyline.
That's
a
freaky.
First of all,
if you don't know,
yeah.
Just in case you don't know, there's a Chinese curse.
Yes.
The Chinese curse is, may you live in interesting times.
And?
We are living in a Chinese curse.
No doubt about it. Increase the dosage of DGM. We need more DGM on Night Shift. Thank you.
carry this cross. You wreck your heart, and the sorrow never ends. We got to bury our friends. It was heavy on me. Heavy on me, heavy on me.
Phone number here, 347-335-0818. That's right, pick up the phone and dial 347-335-0818. We want to welcome you aboard. Come on, let's have some fun for the last 27 minutes. We can have lots of fun.
We've got to carry this cross. We've got to
there you go. I was given the phone number again that Byron said. It was 347-335-0818.
There you have it. Give us a call and let's have some fun for the last. So I gave you the wrong information. We got just
15 minutes
to go. 17 minutes to go before we leave. Listen, what would you want to know is the theme of the evening is what could or would you to manage.
What do you do in excess?
What it is you do in
you
excess.
You have to manage.
You have to manage it because are you succeeding?
It can get out of control.
And is it in excess? Hope I'm succeeding. So how are you going to share your blessing? Because if you're receiving a really good blessing by maximizing what it is you're doing, the excess is, what do you do with your success and excess? Three four seven three three five zero eight one eight. Come on.
Say it again, Byron. Say it again.
347-335-0818. Call us. I want to know what it is and what is your solution.
continuing our theme of irony.
Yes, sir.
Eugene has an ironic story.
Come on.
Tell me this is not ironic, Eugene.
I find it. I can't believe it. There's a suspect, a murderer, who was captured for 12 years by pretending.
Escaped capture.
He escaped capture.
Escaped capture for 12 years. Now think about this. He committed murder.
He's a suspect.
He's a suspect, but he escaped capture for 12 years, and here's how.
He pretended to be a mute.
Pretended to be mute for 12 years. Lived as a mute.
And like the Shape of Water.
Yes. 12 years.
12 years.
And he loses his voice because he hasn't used it.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is ironic.
Atrophied vocal cords.
There it is.
You don't use.
He's a method actor.
If you don't use it, you're gonna lose it. Have you ever heard that?
It's true.
You heard it's that, right? True. There you go.
Method actor.
It's true.
he took method too far. Yeah,
it could come back to harm you.
Don't lose it.
Can you imagine that?
Byron's miming right now, just so you know. It doesn't play on radio, don't but he's miming. It.
Don't lose your mind. Don't use your mind.
You can't lose. You get. Hey, anything can happen.
There it is. That's the mind.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
But how did that help him avoid capture?
I mean, you know, he probably fell into the whole system of mute people.
And he couldn't talk.
The system of the mute people. He was within the mute people community. He was within the.
He went undercover.
Listen, who's going to look for him in the mute community?
You know, there's mute and
if they the mute people see him, who are they going to tell? They can't say anything. Perfect cover.
Mute colony. I'm muted.
But we didn't say mutant. You're in the mutant colony.
It's crazy.
Yes, indeed, crazy.
This guy was charged with
mutation.
You're a fool.
Murdering his wife. Like if he's pretending he can hear. That's a good defense.
Exactly. Oh,
what is that?
He murdered his wife.
He murdered his wife.
He pretended to be mute.
He pretended to be mute for 12 years.
Wow. 12 years?
I know there was a reason.
This should be a Lifetime movie.
What a great actor.
Did he learn to sign language?
I'm sure he
did. Let's see.
Was he good at it?
Good ahead. Please, go into it, please. I want to hear the details of the story.
Oh, get this. He got a job in construction, meeting his second wife.
Stop. And pretended to be mute the whole time.
And it was introduced by his second wife from his boss.
Love it.
Like before fathering a child.
Wow, he really worked his way up the chain, didn't he?
He had a whole mute life.
Yes. Did his wife know?
Obviously.
Apparently not, no.
Wow. He was apprehended. He was living the mute life. He escaped capture by living the mute life.
He was apprehended earlier this year when police conducted a household survey in his village earlier this year, leading officers to discover his lack any official documentation. So police took a blood sample and used his DNA to work out his true identity before detaining him on charges of murder.
And as it's happening, he can't say anything because he's like,
he's lost his voice.
Come on, it's not ironic. That's just, it's like noir.
Could you imagine that speaking? Like, that's just. At all for one day.
Listen, he is so.
Could you do it?
Easily.
I cannot eat for one day, 3 days, but speak, I don't know if I can do it.
It would be ironic if any of us lost our voices.
I sure would. There it is. That's a pretty heavy story. You don't think so, Byron? Byron is mouthing silently. It doesn't play on radio, just so you know.
Well, whatever. Wait a minute, we're not live streaming.
I was going to say, Byron, whatever you were saying, I agree with you.
You agree with me. Thank you. I knew I would get across.
Just not everyone.
Yeah, okay, well, it's okay. Yeah. I heard it.
Do you like that story?
I heard it. Yes, I like that story. The story is very interesting.
It is.
Indeed.
It's fascinating. Spock would say fascinating.
Indeed.
For 12 years. Wow.
Well,
that's crazy.
First of all, I just want to say that you've been listening to Night Shift. It's on from midnight till 3 a.m. Yes. Every Monday night. And you can visit us on the web. We have shows archived there that you can download as podcasts going back for over 10 years. Years?
No way.
So, yes, we do.
No way.
Even right. some that's old right. Eugene shows that I've thrown out there. So you go to lifeislikesciencefiction.com. That's lifeislikesciencefiction.com. That's our website. You go there and you see everything. You can visit us on Facebook, NITESHIFT. Like us.
Yeah. Hallelujah, baby. Now, Mike.
Yes.
I want to give a shout out. Can I give a shout out?
No.
A very special shout out.
No shout outs tonight.
Can I do a shout in?
The band on shout outs.
How about a shout in?
Yeah, a shout out.
Thank you. I want to give a happy birthday to my son, Benjamin.
Your son's birthday?
On Friday.
On Friday.
The 26th.
You're late, Byron.
He's turning 21 years old.
Stop!
Benjamin. Creighton. Wow.
You raised a man, Byron.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. A big shout out. Happy birthday,
big
son.
Big time. Love big you. Time. Happy birthday.
Because all of us have hung out together before with me and your kids and my kids, and it's like your kids, and we're like family. So my family is wonderfully experienced.
Well, I'm going to take that notion, Byron, to go further to say,
yes.
They're doing Night Shift for all these years. And I bring back somebody like Eugene and Chris Griffin used to come on, and all the people, Danny, and all the people who have been on the show, who have been call-ins for years or mystery guests. It's a Night Shift family.
Yes.
So, Eugene.
Mike,
welcome back to coming to a family gathering.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Finally getting.
That's right. You know, he's been on the show. He was on the show well over 20 years ago, Martin, in the pre-bar.
I am in awe. Truly in awe.
You're in awe. And Mystery Guest, are you enjoying, like, this? You're still in your first 12 months of doing the show.
12 months?
Has it been 12 months? Has it been more? Has it been more?
I believe it may have been more.
More? So you're in your first 2 years of being a mystery guest.
I believe that's accurate.
And now mystery, you're beginning to, well, she's still a mystery, but you're beginning to get your feet wet. You're beginning to let your hair down.
Well, not necessarily in that order.
I understand. And do you enjoy being part of the Night Shift family?
Well, if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
There it is.
I'm so glad you're
here. There you go.
Thank you, Byron. I'm so glad to be here. It really is a pleasure.
I have a lot of good memories of the shows that we've done together.
I do too.
You know?
I do too.
And we have a recording record of those memories.
What?
I was listening to a show. I was listening to a show, Byron, earlier tonight. I was going to pull in. I was trying to find some Eugene shows segue and show how long it's been. But I came across a show from 1994.
Wow.
You, me, and Keith.
Whoa.
And Keith is also from the pre-Byron era, because after Chris left, I tried out some different. I tried out Eugene, I tried out Keith, and then I got Byron. And so, and then the show is labeled The New Night Shift.
I remember the
1994, Byron.
And where were we? You were
on 34th, 35th, and 8th.
Yes. That was like amazing times. Then through the garage entrance or the back door entrance up the escalator in the back.
Yes, you remember going up the
the lift, not the escalator. The lift. Elevator lift. That was too funny.
So, I say all that to say, Byron, that,
that
we've been
working
together. And then you left, and then you came
back.
And now you're back in the Night Shift family. And now I feel like the patriarch of the Night Shift family.
Is that how you feel?
Yes.
Okay.
Gather round
my children. Campfire.
The patriarch.
Gather round my children.
You're with an exclusive club now, Byron.
Everybody
is co-host with Mike.
That's right.
Can we make s'mores at the campfire?
Yes, we can. We can have more at the campfire. Throw another log on there, Byron.
I see. We want to go.
Throw another Jawa on the fire. Okay.
Another what?
Well, in Star Wars, there's a scene in Star Wars where, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke encounter, like, where the Jawas have been slaughtered by the Empire. And so Luke goes off and finds out his parents are dead. He comes back, and they're piling up the Jawas, the creatures on Star Wars who got killed. And you just see C-3PO throw another Jawa in the fire. This is a moment in Star Wars that, you know, as a total geek, we would refer to, like, throw another Jawa on the fire.
To be on the
you could do it like that.
You know, here I am on the scene.
You're here all week.
This is who I represent.
Am I live? Right, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Thank you, James. Yes, we're right here in Brooklyn, and there's a fire right behind me.
There's a fire in your eye. This is all going to be in the collection, Byron.
I am so looking forward to this edition of DG.
I have so much. I have so much that I haven't even really even gotten to.
New stuff.
This is why it's usually 3 volumes per, and I put them all in one CD. But this is like volume 2, 39 tracks, Byron.
Wow.
Take a listen to this. Yeah. Come on now. How can you be in a bad mood? Time to go. This has been Night Shift.
Oh, yeah. Night Shift.
If you're listening, the answer is yes.
The answer is Night Shift.
It's my favorite show.
Whatever ails you.